You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
We sleep in May, Eston. March Madness is back. Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast, Sports Gamblers, presented by SportsbookWire.com. And shout out to our sponsor, BetMGM. BetMGM is operational in 10 states and has an awesome user-friendly mobile app. So all of our listeners out in Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Iowa, Tennessee, Nevada, Michigan, and Virginia, be sure to check out BetMGM. I'm the host here, Jeff Clark. Well, co-host, handicapper, and producer at SportsbookWire.com. And I'm joined by my gambling consigliere, handicap and hype man, the sharper one of the two here, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up, brother?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for the intro. Hey, counting on you to be the sharp one this time of year. Rolling into March Madness, as you say. I don't know what you're talking about, that sleep in May stuff. I mean, that's the hard playoff season, NHL, NBA. I know you're excited. Baseball season will be well on the way by then. And, you know, NFL never sleeps, especially in the NFL world. So, yeah, enjoy your sleep in May. I'll still be going at it.
That's just a slogan that I've heard a bunch of college basketball analysts say, and I like it. I just straight up stole it. So, but I hear what you're saying. You know,
every now and then I envy these one sport wonders, you know, who, you know, their sports season lasts, you know, at 4, maybe 5 months. Sports season's 12 months long. Last year, obviously that was a bit of a hiccup, but you know, we've been rolling on since August and there's no one in sight now. And I'm loving it.
Yeah. We were robbed last March, by the goddamn pandemic, but we're back. I'm excited. This is probably my favorite time of the year. The start of the NBA season and then like the meat of the NFL regular season into the playoffs is close second, but you know how much of a hoops junkie I am. Wall-to-wall basketball, going to be Friday and Saturday. It's a little bit of a change-up this year with the March Madness. And then you have NBA in full swing, like you were saying. Games are just going to get more and more intense around the association. But for a sports gambler like me and someone who's dialed into basketball, more so NBA, but obviously I got to ratchet it up here for March Madness. This is Christmas season and spring. Spring is what season we're in, right? Spring. Sorry, I get lost here. I'm just tunnel vision, focus on basketball. We have a lot of great hoops to talk about. We're also going to hit the links, too. I know you have some best bets and likes in the Honda Classic this weekend on the golf course. So we're going to talk about all that. But the meat of this podcast is obviously going to be March Madness. Eston and I are going to run through our brackets, not in crazy detail. We're just going to go through the regions, isolate a couple of the games that we're looking at here the first weekend, the first round. Obviously, we're going to give our final four picks, our national title participants, and our winners, and any other hot takes or conversations that we tangent into, obviously, are going to be much appreciated or well-welcomed because we're just riffing. We're just two gamblers riffing on sports, riffing on March Madness. So I'm excited. Without any further ado, let's get into the bracket. What do you say?
Let's do it. Big week.
All right. So everyone pull out their brackets. We're doing this together. We're going from top left to right. We're going to start with the West Regional, which is got one seed, Gonzaga. Eston, I'll let you take it from here.
Okay. Well, yeah. Bracket season upon us. And you know what? Everyone, you know, brackets are for amateur. Brackets are amateur hour, Jeff. Like, that's what they are. Everyone, it's a 64-leg parlay. No one's getting that right. Like, everyone tries every single year. That's what BetMGM Sportsbook's here to do. That's what, you know, sports betting podcasts, like, we're here to do. No, we're not doing the 64-leg parlay. We're here to pick out the best bets and get actual value and make some proper money off of this time of year. So that's what we hope to do. This West region, you know, Gonzaga is supposed to win it, right? They're the tournament favorite, plus 200 to win it all. You know, we don't really need to worry about them too much in the West region. What are they to win the West specifically?
Minus 175, I would think.
Right? Yeah, minus 175 for the West. That the heaviest favorite of any region. And, you know, no value there. Let's move on. Yeah, we're going to do the first round games, right? Because that's where the value is. Friday, Saturday. We're recording Wednesday afternoon. So no one's going to get this in time for the first four games. Not that anyone really cares about them anyways. So
I will say,
let's go into, oh, yeah, no.
I was just going to
have a West region take.
Yeah, yeah. It's a couple of takes here. You know, it's Gonzaga is a heavy favorite for a reason. This is probably the most talented team, at least offensively, that they have. And Iowa has a lot of pressure on it because this is kind of a culmination of Luka Garza's outstanding Iowa career. Pretty sure he now leads the program in points scored. He's a Wooden Award finalist, first team All-American. I wonder where he's going to go in the draft, actually. But, I mean, this, you know, the seeding or the path, shall I say, for Gonzaga to the Final Four is extremely easy, and it's made even easier when you look at the other teams in this region, specifically Virginia and Kansas. Kansas is obviously a blue blood with Bill Self as the coach. They're always got enough talent and guile to make a run. However, they were forced out of the Big 12 tourney because of COVID issues. Virginia, they're the four seed. Great offensive efficiency. They're actually a little less defensively efficient than prior or previous years. They have a great point guard and Khalil Clark. I might be mispronouncing his first name. They're pretty big and deep, but similar situation with Kansas. Oh, also, they're the defending champions, technically, since March Madness was suspended last season. But similar issue with Kansas as Virginia as Kansas, in the sense that they were forced out of the ACC tourney with a positive COVID test in the program, and we don't know who that is or how much that is actually going to affect the team. So that, in combination with they just have the softest Western or the softest regional, Gonzaga. The odds kind of speak for themselves here, but Gonzaga better come out of the West or else it's going to be a long offseason for Mark Few. I look at Oregon, the 7th seed, with head coach Dana Altman, and how just versatile he is and creating different lineups and rotations, and how he kind of has an answer strategically for whatever team or whatever opponents throw at him. They could definitely make a run here and possibly upset Iowa in the second round. Also, Iowa could be tripped up by USC. If USC can just get a little bit out of their guards in the first couple rounds, they have the most talented freshman outside of Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham, which we'll talk about here down the line or in a few minutes, but their center, Evan Mobley, is someone that can make life difficult for Luka Garza, if not just neutralize him altogether. So if USC can get some decent guard play, which is where they struggle the first couple rounds, I could see them upsetting Iowa in what would be a Sweet 16 should Iowa make it that far. But yeah, to kind of button up my thoughts on Gonzaga, I'm going chalk here with Gonzaga. No way would I ever lay minus 175 in a March Madness pool or in a March Madness future here, even in just the regional. But they are going to be my representative out of the West region. Do you differ at all here, or who do you got coming out of the West?
Yeah, sorry. Misinterpreted what you wanted to do here, but yeah, I got a couple of picks in the West, and like you say, you know, this year, especially, I guess. And with odds like these, you obviously got to fade a team like Gonzaga, right? So, yeah, I like Iowa a little bit. The value is certainly there for the a number two seed, plus 650 to win the region. And I like them at plus 400 to win the tournament even. To make the final four. It was that plus 400 for Iowa. For the number two seed, second best team to Gonzaga, if you're fading the top guys, you got to make a play on the number two. And then a bit more of a long shot in the West. I'm going to go with Virginia at plus 900. I like a lot about this team. Very, very solid foundational basketball, great free throw shooting team, third in the nation. And that's something I always like to look to in March Madness, especially at the onset, right? And obviously value is going to go down for all these teams as it goes on. So coming in, Gonzaga third in the nation behind Oral Roberts in Colorado in free throw shooting. We see it every year. These teams play a great, vast majority of the game, get down to the final seconds and just chuck it away, shooting bricks off the charity stripe. And, Virginia, I like the value there, plus 900 to make the final four. What are they to win the West? They are plus 1,000 to win the West. That's great value, especially, like you say, or like we're both saying, you got to fade Gonzaga if you're going to bet this tournament in the West.
Yeah, to add to your point about the free throws, there's all this chatter and conversation, rightfully so, about teams' experiences or experience going into the tournament or going into these matchups. And if, they could succumb to nerves, if there isn't enough, leadership and depth, leadership and, veteran know-how, caginess on a team. However, I actually think the referees are more nervous than the players. And that's why I think, foul drawing mismatches or, offensive free throw rates versus defensive free throw rates are probably the most important thing to handicap in these in these games. Obviously, you got to account for true shooting percentage, which, adds free throw percentage to 2-point and 3-point percentage. So if you're really good at drawing fouls and you're just going to clunk free throws, maybe that's a team that you're not going to want to go as far with or be as excited on betting on. But, especially with all these reviews, and it just feels like there's more officiating, more official meddling in these games. I mean, meddling sounds insidious, but you know what I'm getting at here. So I actually think the referees are more nervous. So again, when I'm handicapping these games, I'm definitely looking at true shooting percentage and just free throw drawing, mismatches. So I thought that was a good point. Virginia being, what'd you say, first in the country in free throw percentage? Third. Yeah. The only issue with them is that they're not, they're 343rd in free throw attempt rate. So they need to be a little aggressive, but their offensive efficiency is just insane, and they have actually sneaky good wings. They have size in their interior. So they're definitely a team to watch and a team that I wouldn't be stunned if they upset Gonzaga. But
Virginia also third in offensive turnovers. So, like I said, foundational, who can handle the nerves. Yeah, you touched on it, fading experience this year. Usually that's a big thing for me, taking these older teams, especially the starters, guys headed toward the NBA draft, the top of the NBA draft anyway. It kind of goes out the window a bit this year, right? Everyone's gotten the work emails all year long on about unprecedented times. Obviously no different here for the college tournament. And yeah, I don't think that experience is going to prove to be as big of an advantage as it has in past years.
All right. So you said Iowa to make it out of the West region, and I'm on Gonzaga. Sounds right, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. That buttons up the West regional. Yeah, I don't like any of these games, at least in the first round. Nothing that I want to focus in on. I'm sure I'll start, making some bets closer to tip off on some of these. But as of right now, I'm hesitant. All right. Do you want to move over to the East Regional, which is probably kind of confusing? It would make sense. Hopefully everyone's got their bracket out. Apparently the East Regional, all their games are being played on Saturday. So I guess we're going from the Saturday backwards. Again, a little confusing. I'm just going off of the bracket layout, but hopefully I didn't throw you off. You want to talk about the East Regional?
Yeah, let's do the East. And you know, Michigan, obviously a heavy favorite here, number one seed. They are to win the region. Okay, BetMGM not going in the same order as you. Michigan plus 175 to win the East. Alabama plus 400. Florida State plus 500. I like Michigan here. For me, this is a decent value for a number one seed. You know, go across the board, the favorites. Illinois in the Midwest, plus 150. Baylor, plus 100 in the South. As we said, Gonzaga, minus 175 in the West. So plus 175 for Michigan is decent value for me. And I also like Colorado at plus 1,200, a five seed. But, you know, again, just a team that's checking a lot of the boxes that I'm looking at for my handicapping this year in March Madness. I love Colorado, they are second in free throw shooting, 35th in turnovers. Not a great rebounding team. That's a weakness, especially going to be a weakness against Georgetown in their round one matchup. Georgetown, a bit of a sleeper in that case, but Colorado, if they can get by as the five seed and to make the final four, sorry, these are what my odds are when I reference all of these. So that was Michigan for plus 175, Colorado plus 1200 as a five seed. Yeah, I'm not... not a whole lot else here I'm too excited about. You know, I mentioned Alabama as the two, Texas as the three. You know, that's fine. Michigan has been up there at the top all year long. The Ferris Mowers Coaches Bowl powered by USA Today Sports. Michigan's been up there in the top three, the top five all year long. So I'm fine with that. I don't mind. You know, it's not chalk at plus 175, so I'm going to side of the favorite somewhere. You got to do that this time of year. Michigan in the East for me.
Gotcha. I have a few Michigan friends in my life, and what I've heard over recent seasons or the past 2 years was from Michigan friends and fans, bet against Michigan if Isaiah Livers is not in the lineup. Yeah, he dealt with a few injuries last season, and they struggled offensively without him in the lineup, and they're not going to have him in the lineup for all of March Madness is what they're saying, because of I believe a knee injury, some sort of injury. And you know, he's huge. I like Hunter Dickinson, their freshman. I think he's in the conversation for freshman of the year and freshman of the Big Ten. I can pull that up in a second, but either way, I'm not into Michigan making the Final Four, and I am nervous about them getting upset, whether it be by LSU or even St. Bonaventure, whoever makes out of the 8-9 seed. And, you know, we saw this with Michigan in the Big Ten tourney. If you can stretch Hunter Dickinson and the interior presence of Michigan, you can kind of play him off the court. And guard play is huge. And three-pointers, obviously, are huge in March Madness. And if you can just play with an up-tempo, smaller lineup and force them to sit Dickinson, it's going to take away a major edge for them. Isaiah Livers is second on the team in points per game. He's third in rebounds. So it's a lot of production being lost. I'm huge on Texas. I think Texas is my pick to make the Final Four here, the three seed. They're plus 550 to win the East Regional. They have four upperclassmen with Jericho Sims as the center, really balling out lately. He looked great in the Big 12 tourney. He was really drawing a lot of fouls and just creating havoc on the interior. They play great on-ball defense. They're sixth in defensive assists per field goals made. Don't turn over as much as I would like, unfortunately, but they're great at getting to the free throw line. Pretty good free throw shooting team, really good 3-point shooting team. And their primary ball handlers, Matt Coleman, who's a senior, and Andrew Jones, who's a junior, both shoot over 82% from the free throw line, which is major. And I saw Shaka Smart, who previously took VCU on a tournament run a few years ago. He's been at Texas and hasn't really had his breakthrough year yet, and I think he's due for a breakthrough this time. They're 8-6 in quad one games, Texas is. They have the second toughest conference tourney or conference in the nation by strength of schedule behind the Big Ten, and they won their conference tournament. Also, they had a massive blow up in the West Virginia loss at the end of the year. Hold on, let me pull up specifically when that was. It was February 20th. They lost 84-82. They blew a second half, a double-digit second-half lead, and two of their players had to be broken up from getting in. They got into a fight or like an altercation on the sideline, and I think that was good for the team. They, I guess, hashed out some issues and kind of were able to like figure out their identity and their roles afterwards. And going through adversity ahead of the tournament, I think, is a good primer. You know, since then they've been they're 6-1. Their only loss coming on the road to Texas Tech. Good Texas Tech team, rivalry game, obviously. They did kind of stink it up there, but you know, their wins over Texas Tech and the revenge game in the conference tournament and over Oklahoma State against that stud freshman Cade Cunningham gives me hope. So I'm taking Texas plus 550 to win the East.
All right.
I got a couple games that I'm interested, though, in the first round, if you want to talk about them.
We're into the games now? Okay. Yeah, that works for me. Let's go in order of game time, then, on Saturday. Well, we skipped ahead to the Saturday games, but nevertheless, the early game Saturday, Colorado 5 seed versus 12 seed Georgetown, Saturday at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. Colorado, minus 225 on the money line, minus 5.5 points, minus 110 odds. Georgetown, plus 180. Plus 1.5, minus 110 odds again. Over under of 137.5. Yeah, no betting data out for this one from our sponsors, but Colorado, they come in 22-8, third in the Pac-12. Georgetown 13-12, eighth in the Big East. So, you know, different regular seasons there. Obviously, divisions playing a factor. Everyone loves the good old 12-5 upset. Are you a Georgetown backer in this match against Colorado?
Yeah, and I kind of feel like a sucker with the whole 5-12 thing because it is a little overplayed. Then again, it does happen often enough where you're probably a sucker for not taking one. I just love the idea of picking a team that the public feels is lucky to be there and they're going to bet against. And that's what Georgetown is. Yeah, they had a pretty crappy regular season when you know, stack them up against the rest of the conference champions, but I'm a firm believer the Big East is a much better conference than the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is pretty lucky to be considered a major conference despite them having a lot of great recruiting connections and just powerful athletic departments and administrations. Pac-12 typically or consistently underwhelms in postseason play. Patrick Ewing was kind of coaching for his job entering the Big East tournament, but you know, I don't think him winning it should kind of get the monkey off his back or get the heat, get him off the hot seat. And his players are motivated to prove that their coach knows what he's doing. And the Colorado coach, Tad Boyle, has only won one game and five tournament appearances. So it's not like they have some overwhelming experience edge. Also, Georgetown is 8-2 overall and against the spread in the last 10. and the neutral site games that they played, all in the Big East tournament, granted in Madison Square Garden, they were 4-0 with a plus 18.5 ETS margin. And I think this game is just going to play kind of slow. Colorado isn't very good away from home, and plus 5.5 is a lot. I'm taking it.
Okay. No, that's so not biased, I guess. But yeah, you're, of course, everyone loves that 12-5 pick. Can't go into you. I do like a lot of things, as you say, in that favor for Georgetown. Much better rebounding team, 13th in the country. Colorado 189, Georgetown 9-4 since February 3rd, winning decently, 71.2 to 68.0, and they've been winning rebounds over those games as well. I like Georgetown as well. I can't go into too much, although I am going to stick with the value of Colorado, my long shot pick. But I mentioned this off the top, this is an upset potential early for Colorado, but. Kind of a hedge, I guess, to sprinkle a little something on Georgetown and plus money here. What is your threshold for laying the points over the money line in March Madness? And that does that change over a regular season college basketball game?
It's tough to lay the points. I'm contemplating it with Oklahoma State in the first round over Liberty, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but. I'm much more willing to play a money line if I really like a team, even if it's jacked up, more so than in regular season basketball. It's tough laying points. You know, it's called March Madness for a reason. These crazy outcomes happen and crazy situations. So, you know, I'm more or less going to be shopping around 4 points. But I'm more – that being said, I am more willing to lay – heavier money line price than in the regular season. I don't know if, does that make sense? I hope it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That's exactly what I was getting to. So the minus 225 here for Colorado, that's playable for you?
No, I wouldn't go that high. I think I still max out around like 160, 170. And if I could, I'm going to parlay these high money lines. Like if you really like Colorado, and just don't want to lay it because of the obvious, I would try to find a team to parlay it with to kind of make it even money. So just for instance, I'm looking at Arkansas at minus 450. If you parlay that with Colorado, you would be minus 131, right? So something like that. Maybe not taken as heavy of a favorite as say Arkansas, but if you kind of get where I'm going with here, that's kind of, you know, what I'm getting at. And some people, you know, really poo-poo parlays, moneyline parlays, but there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as I would say, and you can definitely make some money parlaying moneyline favorites. Especially, it's tough to make money laying points with favorites in the tournament, I'll tell you that.
Right. Okay, so on to our next game then. What do we got? UConn, Maryland? Is that what we have next?
Yeah.
Okay. So UConn, 7 seed, minus 150 money line, minus 2.5 points. 10 seed Maryland, plus 125, plus 2.5, minus 110 odds on either side of the spread line. Saturday game tips off 7:10 PM Eastern time. Over under of 129.5. Minus 115 on the over, minus 105 for the under. UConn went 15-7, third in the Big East. Maryland 16-13, ninth in the Big Ten, a very tough Big Ten this year. UConn is my pick. 94th in free throw percentage, 50th in rebounding, and 70th in turnovers. Those rankings are nationwide. Maryland 199th, 272nd. They have a small edge in turnovers, not big enough to make a difference for me here. You like the upset in Colorado, Georgetown. I definitely don't like the upset here. I'm all on UConn. I think they handle this relatively easy. They had the higher top end talent in the regular season, 3 scorers over 10 points per game. Maryland had 2 above 10. Both teams ended the season fairly well. UConn 7-4 since February 6th. Maryland 7-5 since February 2. UConn winning by 7 points per game in that window. Maryland just 3 points per game. I'm on UConn. Better rebounding team, better free throw shooting team, and you know they were the better turnover team down the stretch run of the season. So there goes the advantage that Maryland may have had in this one. Give me the Huskies.
All right. Well, we going head to head on this one. I know we're not really charting this stuff, but I'm taking Maryland +2.5. And I also kind of like the under, which I believe is 129.5. Let me pull that up. So, yeah, 129.5. The juice is on the over, but that's because it keeps going down. Both these teams played an ultra slow pace, and this is one of the lower totals on the board. So points are going to be hard to come by. That's why I definitely like the – or I lean to the +2.5. Maryland's got long athletic wings, which is going to make it tough for UConn to operate in the mid-range. UConn's not a very good three-point shooting team, nor do they take a lot of three-point shots. Maryland also has a more experienced coach. I like Dan Hurley over there at UConn, even though I hate UConn because I'm a St. John's graduate. But they have a really good program over there, and they're back in the Big East, which makes the Big East look good. Sometimes it's tough because Maryland's offense goes missing. You know, that's why I think I prefer the under more than the side in this one. But Maryland played in a tougher conference. They had impressive road wins over Wisconsin, Illinois. So it being just the slow pace, really no tournament identity for the UConn. It's not like they have experience in their favor. I'm just going to take the +2.5 here.
All right, moving along to the South then. Got some disagreements early already. With you as the college basketball March Madness expert, I'm not feeling too good about that, but hey, we can't win a lot of money if we're both agreeing all the time, because we will be wrong. So I'm going to hedge against you, I guess, for the most part this episode. I like those odds. So I have #2 Ohio State at +600 to make the Final Four, and I'm going to take a chance at #9 Wisconsin at +1200 to make the Final Four as well. I'm going to fade top seed Baylor. Don't feel super strongly about that, but again, this is largely value for me, and it's just looking for where non-number-one seeds become more valuable. And the South region, Baylor +100, even money, and get Ohio State at +400. And going down, Wisconsin at +1200. A lot to like about that team. They are, take great control of the basketball. The #1 turnover team, offensive turnover team in the nation. Tough first round matchup against North Carolina. We're going to talk about that game here, I believe. Yes. If they can get by there, and then they got to face Baylor, but it gets easier from there, I suppose, and you can't feel too bad about that. I just like Wisconsin, I guess. The three factors, as I keep talking about, that I like this year: free throws, rebounding, turnovers. Wisconsin has the edge in two of those against North Carolina. That gives them a path to that first round upset I like. But yeah, I think my top team in the South would be Ohio State at +600.
Nice. I'm with you. I thought it was +400 to win the South. I like Ohio State to make it to the South.
Yeah, sorry. Yep.
Yeah. I got +400 for Ohio State to make the South. We're on the same page here, Eston. They don't turn the ball over. They're a great free throw shooting team. Their senior point guard, CJ Walker, averages 95% from the free throw line. 95%. He's going to be on the ball a lot. And the other guy who's on the ball a lot is Dwayne Washington, and he averages 85% from the free throw line. I love that. Chris Holtman is a head coach that's trending up at Ohio State. And this team handles in-game adversity. Did I say that right? Adversity? I sometimes mess that word
adversity.
up. All right, cool. Yep. Thanks. I don't know if you paid attention to them in the Big Ten tourney, but they'll have halves where they'll score close to 50 points, and then the next half they'll score 25. So they're used to like gut punches in game and still like patching it together and, you know, beating teams and closing games out. They had a great conference tourney, making it to the final game and losing in overtime to Illinois. Made a whole bunch of tough shots. They have a team that could really spread you out with EJ Liddell playing the big, and he's an above average 3-point shooter. I'm big on Ohio State making it out of the South, and part of it is Baylor and their path to the Final Four. I really like Baylor. They had an awesome season. I don't know what head coach Scott Drew or Baylor did to the selection committee, but this is just terrible. It's just a terrible, terrible path. Like, oh my God. I like North Carolina over Wisconsin. We're going to go head up on that one as well, but let's say I'm wrong. They're looking at either North Carolina or Wisconsin in the second round, all right? Maybe Villanova gets past Winthrop. They look a little shaky without Colin Gillespie. I'm pretty sure he's a Wooden Award finalist. Either way, he's out for the tournament with a knee injury. So let's say Jay Wright patches things up. They get past Winthrop, which is a feisty 12 seed. Baylor could be looking at playing North Carolina or Wisconsin in the second round, playing Villanova or Purdue, a Purdue team I really like. They're a sleeper in this regional, you know, with their elite front court size and Trevion Williams and Zach Eddy. They have capable 3-point shooters, so watch out for them. I'm still liking Ohio State, but they could play. So I'm sorry, Baylor could play North Carolina or Wisconsin, then Villanova, then and Purdue in the Sweet 16. Then they have probably Ohio. Well, I think Ohio State, or it could be Texas Tech, who's well coached in the Elite Eight. So their road to me is the toughest out of any one seed. So I'm slightly fading them, but. We're both on the same page, Ohio State to make it out of the South. A couple of the games that I like in the first round of the South Regional, you already kind of tipped your hat where you're going by splashing or sprinkling on Wisconsin to win this region, but I like Wisconsin, or I like North Carolina to beat Wisconsin in the first game, or in the first round. Both have a pretty similar identity, but Tar Heels are just bigger and more physical on the inside. They're 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 neutral site games as a favorite. They have a huge edge in rebounding. Roy Williams is also, you know, one of the best tournament coaches, obviously. You know, he's got probably the most experience outside of Jim Boeheim in this entire field. And he's made the Sweet 16 in 4 of his last 5 NCAA bids. So I like North Carolina here. Wisconsin just doesn't get to the free throw line enough for me. They're 289th in free throw attempt rate, and UNC's defense is 62nd in defensive free throw attempt rate. So, they do a great job in the offensive glass, UNC, I mean, and I just like them to kind of muscle around Wisconsin. So I'm on North Carolina in the first round. Game against Wisconsin, that 8-9 seed. Also, I want to talk about the first game in the first round, which is 7 seed Florida versus 10 seed Virginia Tech in the West. Do you have any closing thoughts on the Wisco North Carolina game?
Yeah, I made a strong case for North Carolina, and yeah, I like both these teams. I think this is probably one of the closer matchups. Obviously an 8-9 matchup, but even among the other 8-9 matchups, I think this is one of the tighter ones. I can't hate on you too much for going with North Carolina, but I do like Wisconsin slightly plus money. 7-5 run to end the season since February 2. Beat teams by over 5 points per game over that stretch. Won the rebound battle, lost turnovers. Wisconsin, they lost rebounds, won turnovers over their final month and a bit of the season. 4-7 stretch to end of the year. They were outscored by nearly a point per game. So I think there are weaknesses there for North Carolina. Yeah, add it to our hypothetical head-to-head, and let's move on to Florida-Virginia Tech. Florida, 7 seed, minus one, or this is a pick'em, minus 110, both teams on the money line. Minus one, or Florida's the technical favorite here, minus one on the spread, minus 105, Virginia Tech, plus one, minus 115, over under 135.5. Betting handle for the spread is on Florida. More bets being placed on Virginia Tech, however, but huge discrepancy on the over under. 90% of the handle is on the under, 135.5, 59% of the bets on the over. So, you know, in your writing for Sportsbook Wire, you always touch on the pros versus Joes side of the line. You know, that's pretty apparent here. Obviously, Joes wanting to see high scoring games in March Madness, betting the over, sharps loving that under at 90%. At this 7-10, it's a tight one though. Give me Florida.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Virginia Tech as a pick'em. Hokies played in a tougher conference than Florida. The SEC wasn't that good this year. And they have, there's more tourney teams in the ACC. And they have two more impressive wins than any of Florida's wins, beating Nova in the second game of the season and beating Virginia at the end of January. I'm talking about Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a better rebounding team, and they have a lot better ball security. Also, Florida's defensive free throw rate is 257th in the country, which is obviously really bad. So if they're gonna get into foul trouble and put Virginia Tech at the line, it's gonna be an issue for them. And Virginia Tech is a good 3-point shooting team. Florida's defense against 3-point shooting is really good, so I can understand why the sharps like the under. And with that bet splits there, I you just kind of talked me into the under here too, but I'm on Virginia Tech to advance in the first round, or advance from the first round.
Well, good luck to you, but not really. On to the Midwest, and you know, number one seed Illinois, who else? Houston, number two. I like Illinois here, and you know, touched on taking your favorite in Michigan. You shot that down in a hurry. I feel like you can't be as dead set against this pick. Illinois plus 150 to win the Midwest. What are they for the Final Four? Illinois plus 150 for the Final Four as well. Yeah, that's fine for me. It's a good team. Another dark horse in the Midwest. I'm going to go with Syracuse, hoping that one touches on your heartstrings, I guess. Syracuse 12th in free throw percentage. They are a fine rebounding team. Little sketchy perhaps in turnovers, but not that bad. It's like I said, it's all about chasing value here in these, you know, regionals brackets. You can chase the heavier favorites for the outright, right? And you got to hedge and shoot your shot whenever you can. Plenty of props up on BetMGM, as we're talking about. Yeah, Illinois plus 150, Syracuse plus 1800. What do you got for me?
I'm with you on Illinois. They've been my pick to win the NCAA tournament since like mid-January. I love this team. I didn't get any future in on it, or didn't place a future bet in on it. They're still 6-1 right now to win the NCAA tournament, according to BetMGM. That's a number that I'm definitely going to play. Spoiler alert, it's going to go to the window with me. I love this team. I really do. They have the best roster, two wooden finalists between Kofi Coburn and Iowa Dosunmu. They have an elite defensive wing in Trent Frazier, sixth man of the year for the Big Ten, and freshman Andre Crabello. They have a stretch four. There's really no fat on this roster. They're well coached. I don't know if you've watched Kofi Coburn play at all, the center for Illinois, but he completely manhandled Iowa center Luca Garza. He's 7 foot, 285 pounds, sophomore. They got to get a birth certificate on this kid. I don't know how he's even in college, but this is a legit man child. Played at Oak Hill Academy, one of the best high school prep basketball programs in the nation. He's definitely going to be in the pros. He's just massive body, and he's, again, legit athlete, 7 footer at 285. And I like this team. I like the value at plus 600. I'm not going to bet it to win the region at plus 150, but yeah, they're my team to advance, from the Midwest regional. And there's a few games that I like here, in the first round, the first one being San Diego State versus your sleeper Syracuse, which is an 11 seed, San Diego State being a 6 seed. I'm assuming you're taking the points with Syracuse, obviously.
Yeah, and Syracuse plus 135 on the money line. Taking them as a dark horse to win the Midwest region, I got to take them plus 135 to at least get past the first round. San Diego State, 6 seed, minus 160 favorite, laying 3.5 points, minus 110 odds on either side of the line. Over under 138.5, minus 110 on either side of that. 82% of the handle is on San Diego State, 60% of the tickets as well. So that scares me a little bit, going against the grain pretty strongly. That's fine. Syracuse winning the turnover battle and big winners in the free throw battle on this. San Diego State is 127th in the nation, Syracuse 12th. If they can hang in this and get it down to the stretch, I like their odds there. They had 3 players over 10 points per game this year, led by guard Buddy Boeheim with 17.1. San Diego State just had 2 players over 10 points per game, for Matt Mitchell, 15.4. Scary thing for my Syracuse pick. San Diego State, 10-0 since February 8th. End of the season pretty well, following an 8-day layoff from the end of January into early February. And they outscored teams by 13 points per game over that stretch, winning the rebounding and turnover battles. Syracuse, not a great rebounding team, 144th in the country, lost the rebounding battle more often than not, but they won turnovers, and like I say, strong free throw shooting team. Give me Syracuse. I don't need the points here. Give me them 135 money line. Like I said, free throw shooting, big factor, and that's really the only time I'm going to take points here in March Madness, whenever the money line isn't, at least as close as this anyway, so. Yeah, I'm on the orange.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking the plus 3, though. I might sprinkle on the money line as well, just get some additional value. I'm with you, them being the, they're definitely a live dog in the Midwest. I don't know about the livest dog. We'll talk about Oklahoma State here in a second. But Syracuse and Jim Boeheim, they just know how to play in the tournament. This is his 35th NCAA tournament. His kid, Buddy Boeheim, has been on fire lately, shooting 46% from three-point land over the past 7 games. And San Diego State is 337th in defensive three-point rate. So if they're just going to let Syracuse chuck three-pointers, they're going to get smoked. They're going to have to rework their defense or – get up on the shooters more so, or force them off the, run them off the line. Because again, if Syracuse is just able to shoot threes, Buddy Boeheim is going to destroy this team. So, plus 3 with all this tournament savvy, and really no head coaching or tournament profile out of San Diego State, I'm definitely taking the points here. I am a little nervous because I feel like, I don't know if you have the betting handles in front of you, but
for San Diego Syracuse, yeah, 82% of handle on San Diego State and 60% of tickets on San Diego State as well. Over is 59% of the handle, and tickets are split 50-50.
Beautiful. So we get to fade the market by taking Syracuse.
Yeah,
let's do that. We're in. Let's do that one. All right. Syracuse plus 3. Let me go ahead and change my going to the window pick. All right. Hey, good news. Good news. Get to fade the market. I love doing that when I can.
Okay. You already teed up this game a little bit, but number 4, Oklahoma State, -350 money line favorite, laying -7.5 points against 13 seeded Liberty, +280, +7.5, -110 odds on either side of the line. 57% of the handle on Liberty, 55% of the tickets on Oklahoma State, over under of 140.5. Juice is on the over, -105 for the under. 70% of the handle is on the over, as are 68% of the tickets. We just faded the market in San Diego State, Syracuse. You touched on Oklahoma State as being one of the livest dogs in the Midwest. Are we going to fade the market again? 57% of the handle on Liberty.
57% of the handle. What are the tickets on? The handle is the money, yeah?
Yeah, 55% of the tickets on Oklahoma State. Sorry, 57% of the money on Liberty.
Oh.
At +7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the average Joe here. But I think we should wait because the number is coming down and open at -9. Oklahoma State's right now -7.5. Have you watched Cade Cunningham play?
Not as much as, you know, apparently I should be. Freshman averaging 20.2 points per game. I'm the one missing out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the first pick in the NBA draft. He gives me Carmelo Anthony vibes.
Wow.
He's an absolute monster. They're kind of playing with Oklahoma State's kind of playing with house money, too. They were banned. They got a postseason ban this year, and they weren't even supposed to be in the tournament. However, they appealed the ban, and because the NCAA couldn't review it in time, they're able to play this postseason. It's pretty convenient that they couldn't review it, you know, with the eventual number one pick in the NBA draft on the Oklahoma State team, right? But be that as it may, Oklahoma State wasn't even supposed to be in this tournament, and they are. Liberty is one of the smallest teams in the country. They're all threes, and if they're not going to go down, they're going to shoot themselves out of this game pretty easily. Oklahoma State's got a good three-point defense. Liberty is 338th in adjusted tempo, according to KenPom. So that's going to allow the Oklahoma State defense to set up, right? And they're long, they're athletic. And if Liberty is, you know, going to be so obvious or going to be easy to game plan for, you know, run out on the threes, I like this defense to force Liberty to miss a bunch of three-point shots and just control the tempo. Liberty, I don't know if they can play away from Lynchburg, Virginia. They're 13-0 at home. Great. They're 4-4 against the spread, 5-3 straight up on the road with a -1.9 ATS margin. Oklahoma State on the road, 8-3-1 against the spread, 8-4 straight up with a +4.8 ATS margin. And, you know, granted it's considered a neutral site, but you're not playing in your home gym. So, you know, basketball, you know, it's one of those things where you're comfortable in your home gym. You know, you're comfortable on your home court. It goes from everywhere from street ball up to the pros. It's not necessarily a fan thing. Obviously, the fans play more of a role in college than the NBA, but it's just, I don't know, different like depth of perception when it comes to the optics of the arena you're playing in. It's a big number, but I definitely lean OK State -7.5.
Yeah, and touching on that with the fans, so would this be a year where you are more attracted to a team led by a freshman player like Cade Cunningham?
Possibly. He's so far beyond the best player in college that, like, I don't know how, like, you're going to have to beat them, despite Cade Cunningham playing well. So you pretty much have to take out everyone else on that team, which is easier said than done. They beat West Virginia at the end of the year with Cade Cunningham out of the lineup. So there is talent on that team. So you can't sleep on any of the players over there. But no, I definitely think OK State is the live dog in this conference or in this regional. It's just Illinois, I'm so high on Illinois, so I don't see OK State being able to take them down.
All right. So there we go. That's six games. We passed on the West region, but you know, two from each of the other three. Hopefully got a few winners in there, a few disagreements, both on Syracuse. So
you know who's not going to pass? One. You know who's not going to pass on the West region? That's our whole website. So be sure to check out sportsbookwire.usatoday.com because there's going to be a whole bunch of handicaps, or every game is going to be handicapped for the NCAA tournament. So be sure to check out our excellent writers and handicappers on the website. And, you know, if you're looking at West regional games to be betting, please take a look at our posts and our write-ups on these because they're pretty solid. So
you're a good company man, Jeff. But yeah, like you say, any games that you're looking to bet that we didn't get to cover here in a podcast, much better coverage in written form on sportsbookwire.com. You know, call it a time issue. So those are games. We're going to make our Final Four and our national championship game picks.
Yeah. Yeah. Just wrap it up here.
Okay, so in the West region, I'm going to go with Iowa at plus 400. In the East, you know, you talked me out of Michigan, I guess, so I'm going to go with Colorado, a long shot, plus 1,200. In the South, Ohio State, plus 400. That's a common number for me, I guess. And Illinois at plus 150. You know, a favorite, number one seed, getting plus money. You got to like that.
Yeah, and my Final Four is one seed Zag out of the West, three seed Texas out of the East, one seed Illinois out of the Midwest, and two seed Ohio State out of the South. I got Illinois over Texas in the final game.
I have Iowa over... Iowa over Ohio State.
Wait, what?
Wait.
Ohio State. Right? I got you. Ohio State. Yeah. I thought you said Iowa State at first. I was like, well, wait a second.
Oh, sorry. No. Iowa over Ohio State. So plus 1,600 Iowa. Best of luck to your picks. And thank you for the lessons, March Madness. This is going to be my first year betting March Madness. Enough of the children's table and the kiddie pool with the bracket format.
Oh yeah, are you doing a survivor pool?
No. I'll go. No.
All right, just taking some shots at some games. I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Gonna try to actually turn a profit this year and not just donate my $10.
All right. Well, we got a little bit left of this podcast. Just gotta wrap up with our final bets or our best bets for the week. We're actually going to move away from March Madness with our best bets. So why don't we start with our going to the window segment with some of your Honda Classic angles.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Yes, yeah, so the PGA Tour Florida Swing ends this week with the Honda Classic. Obviously, we had the Players Championship last week, won by Justin Thomas. We had the WGC Match Play next week. And then we have the Masters just 3 weeks away. So not many guys in attendance this week. If you have a favorite golfer, pretty low chance of him being in this field. Top player now is Sungjae Im, the defending champion. Daniel Berger withdrew due to a back injury as we were recording this show. So, yeah, that really weakens this field. We have Sungjae Im plus 1,100, Joaquin Niemann plus 1,400, and Lee Westwood off of back-to-back runner-up finishes in much better tournaments than this at plus 1,600, a guy who loves this course, but going to lead this with, I am fading Lee Westwood this week. There is no reason for this guy to care about the 2021 Honda Classic. He's looking to win a major. He's looking to win a green jacket specifically. I think Westwood's here to just, you know, feel better about himself. If he were to make the cut, I actually like a bet on him to miss the cut. I just don't see it for Lee Westwood this week. Sungjae Im, no, he's gonna care. He plays more golf than most players on the PGA Tour, especially most top end names. Won last year at minus six. Tough conditions. This tournament, pretty high scoring, I guess. Not a scoring fest, I guess, is the easiest way to say that. Only seen a couple of winners at minus 10 or better in recent years. Sungjae Im, he's very strong guy. As long as the putter doesn't completely abandon him, as it has a couple times early in 21, I like him. I liked him better at, you know, we were getting plus 1,500 early in the week with Daniel Berger topping this field. That number's down, like I said, plus 1,100. Still the rightful tournament favorite here. Cameron Davis was plus 5,000 before the Berger news. He's plus 4,500 now. I still like that. He comes in pretty good form. He had a couple of top 10s early in the year, coming off a couple of miscuts. But like I said, those were in much tougher fields than this week. Sorry, what do I have on Cameron Davis? 136th in the world rankings this year. Don't worry about that. That's a common theme for winners of the Honda Classic. Keith Mitchell, an old Padraig Harrington, Russell Henley, Michael Thompson, Rory Sabatini, all recent winners who were pretty well outside the top 100 of the official world golf ranking. There are some favorites who have won this, but there just aren't any serious favorites in the field this week. So I like a shot at Robbie Shelton at plus 25,000 as a huge long shot. I missed the cut last week at plus 2. That was one over the number, two over the line, I guess. Excuse me. But he led the field with 2.72 strokes putting over his two rounds. T11 finish here last year. Only one top 10 finish in 23 events last year. That was a T3 in a field much like this at the 3M Open. So I think he can contend against these jabronis at PGA National this week. But Cameron Davis is my number one pick, plus 4,500. So we lost some value with the Berger news. Hopefully you're able to place that early in the week. Finished third at the American Express and tied for 14th at a Pebble Beach Golf Links course. That's pretty comparable to this PGA National Champions course in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. That was part of a stretch of five straight made cuts. I'm fine with Cameron Davis. And, this field's pretty wide open, so take your shots. Top of the board, M plus 1,100, Joaquin Niemann plus 1,400, Lee Westwood plus 1,600. And then we've got Adam Scott, Shane Lowry. Essentially anyone with name value, I'm fading this week. They have no reason to try to win the Honda Classic. They'd much rather the bigger paycheck with the WGC, and they'd much rather a green jacket in a couple weeks.
All righty. I'm going to do two NBA games here. I got two that I feel strongly about. One of them's tomorrow. It's the Pelicans at Trailblazers, which is a rematch of Tuesday's meeting where the Pelicans just absolutely choked and blew a second half or a fourth quarter double digit lead. It's going to sound a little ridiculous, but if I was a Pelicans fan, this is going to sound very ridiculous. If I was a Pelicans fan, I would be pretty excited about my team right now. I know they, I know they had hope for the playoffs this year and they could still make it. They don't know how to win games yet. Part of that is, youth, and they just need to build some experience together between the new coach, Stan Van Gundy. Zion needs to learn how to win, and Brandon Ingram has to find his role, and they all need to kind of build together. I think Brandon Ingram at this point is more of like a Chris Middleton, whereas Zion is going to be more of the Giannis of the group. So in a few years, I think they're going to be a title contender. I know they're interested or are flirting with shopping around Lonzo Ball. That's just a terrible idea. So I do like the Pelicans in the future or moving forward, but I really just like them in this recent revenge spot. It's been really hard to beat a team twice in a row this season in the NBA, as we've seen a number of times. And again, they were up double digits in Portland the other night, and they just choked the game away. If that game breaks any other way, the Pelicans just retain that lead. So Dame had to go off and put them on his back, which he's been able to do the whole year because Dame is great. But I do think the Pelicans tie this little mini series, this little two-game mini series. The other game that I'm looking at is Friday, March 19th. Hopefully you don't fill up on the first round of the NCAA tournament. because I really like the Grizzlies at home against the Warriors. I'm willing to play it up to Grizzlies -2.5. I think it'll be a pick 'em. I can't imagine they get more than 1.5, but hey, if they do, awesome. If it's at 2.5, again, I don't really anticipate that. Definitely take the points. But Draymond's got a really high turnover rate, and Memphis forces a whole bunch of turnovers. Grizzlies got a feisty defensive backcourt, which could be enough to throw Curry off rhythm. Golden State really just has zero offense if Steph Curry isn't carrying them. Memphis has just a massive edge in the front court. They're eighth in offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding rate, going against a Golden State team that's 30th in offensive rebounding rate and 28th in defensive rebounding rate. Memphis is top five in all miscellaneous categories, which include points off of turnover, second chance points, fast break points, and paint points per game. Golden State is bottom 10 in opponents' points off of turnovers, second chance points, and fast break points. I just like the Memphis's highly aggressive style, and I'm willing to play them up to -2.5. And if you know it goes south, by all means, take the Grizzlies anything up to -2.5. Also, just to kind of button up here, my bet slip. I already said this, but I'm going with Illinois to win the title at +600. And my favorite play of the first round games in the NCAA tournament is Syracuse at +3. Get to fade the public, get to ride a hot hand with Boeheim, Buddy Boeheim, and take the most tournament savvy coach in Jim Boeheim. Do you have any other picks on your bet slip?
No, that's good for me. Yeah, like I said, I like Illinois +600. Yeah, that's good. And that in the golf, Cameron Davis +4,500. I got a much better number early in the week. Take that, everyone who didn't get the same number as me.
I bet you did, buddy. All right, well, hey, best of luck. And all the sports that you take. Hopefully your brackets aren't busted by this time next week. We'll talk about the second round next week. We're going to be dipping into MLB futures, so be on the lookout for that stuff, all you seam heads. Yeah, and good luck, and hopefully all your bets win this weekend.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.